Wow, this week begins our seventh year of weekly uninterrupted podcasting for the last 6 years. Now starting in with our seventh year with episode 313, Matt Rippey has been there from the very beginning as our webmaster and all-around online guru. And I guess the only thing I have to say is, can you please make it stop? Make it stop! Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its seventh year, number 313, Celebrating and House Cleaning. We begin our seventh year of podcasting by doing a little late fall cleaning, explaining some of the changes we've made to how our podcasts are posted, walking you through what's changed over on iTunes, and hopefully pointing out some interesting bells and whistles, showing off some cool new features, revealing how many of you are actually listening, pondering the surprising popularity of certain episodes, and puzzling over our elusive demographic.
Who thought, I think we've mentioned this before, that I misunderstood from the very get-go. I think you said something about having six in the bank. And I thought that that meant that you were going to do six podcasts, call it a day, and, you know, take that to the bank. What you meant was you're going to do this for the rest of your life, but you always need six waiting in the bank to be released. And that's insane. When are you going to stop?
I'm not exactly sure. I have to say, I wouldn't have done it this long unless I really loved doing it, because I really do. It's enormous fun, I have to say. It's actually, I think, helped my writing. It's because every week I try to give each podcast a three-word title, which is also the subject or the theme of that week's podcast, and then we try to stick to that theme,
right.
And it's kind of helped me just come up with a 20 minute story every week, an audio story, and then I've had to, as I edit, I go, oh, you know what, that little bit, I can put that at the end, or this little story bit should come earlier. So it's just been great, and
it must be just the discipline of having to do it. I mean, like you said, uninterrupted, you've not missed a week. Sometimes we've missed the broadcast day,
yes,
which we moved, I think, maybe...
It started on a Friday, and then it became on a Monday.
Came to a Monday, and every now and then, due to, you know, the constraints of, you know, being a working, traveling actor,
yeah,
you've missed a Monday, but maybe it comes out on a Tuesday,
right.
You know. But have you not missed a week?
I've not missed a week, nor have I done a repeat. I've never said...
Yeah.
Now I'm going to replay this.
Mm.
I think I might have repurposed, you know, a couple of recordings from like the radio show or something like that.
As well, you should. And I guess the discipline of doing that surely has helped you as well. Just the knowing that every week you're going to sit down. And how long does it take you now?
The podcasts that take the longest are the ones where I'm taking a lot of different sources and require a lot of editing.
Right.
But, for instance, many of the conversations, like some of the podcasts we have done in cars while traveling, you know, I turn the microphone on for 20 minutes, we stick to the subject, and at the end of 20 minutes, I turn it off and we're done.
Mm.
And so it's just slapping some tops and tails, some intros and outros, and the tour dates in the middle. And I can get it. I think the shortest I've ever done it, it's been about an hour. It's taken me an hour from beginning of editing process to the end. But there have been times where it's taken up to six because it's just there's so much editing required.
Right.
And so much thinking and moving stuff around.
Right. And I guess not everyone is as eloquent and succinct as, you know, like Mick Orff. We always call him your podcast bitch. And he's gold. You just put it in his face and he's good. He always says something interesting and funny and to the point. I ramble. And so I'm sorry. I probably cause you extra hours over the years. I've probably given you.
Well, you know what? You earn your weight in all the other areas with your not only your songs that we'll hear about in a few weeks, but also, I mean, as the webmaster, you know, I couldn't do any of this without having a place to post it to. And you're the host of RedUShakespeare.com. You've worked on it. So it was Matt Croak sort of goosing me from behind, you'll pardon the expression, early on to do this. Mm-hmm. And then it was you saying, here's how we can do it online. Here's what's required. But things have changed over the years with RedUShakespeare.com, with how we've actually posted the podcast and how they've been posted on iTunes. So this week, I thought this podcast could be not only a celebration of 6 years of doing it, but also a bit of sort of house cleaning, you know, a little bit about what's going on. We've first of all, we had to make some changes. Mm-hmm. Not every podcast, used to be that every podcast appeared on iTunes. Mm-hmm. And that's not true anymore. Now it's only 1 year's worth. And that's that because iTunes sort of laid down the law?
Yeah, well, to be clear about it, they've always said that your feed should only feature at most 50, possibly 100, but they recommend 50 mm-hmm. podcasts. Now, that doesn't mean that anything above that are not available.
Right.
It just means that they want your feed as it appears in the iTunes store mm-hmm. to only have 50. Otherwise, they've got a store that is going to be massive, full of everyone's hundreds and hundreds of podcasts.
Right.
So they're asking that it stays short, 50 podcasts. What that means is that you don't see them when you're not subscribed.
Right.
When you just look at the Reduce Shakespeare Company, search them in iTunes, find the podcast, look at it, you'll see 50 of the most recent. But when you subscribe, it then gives you access to all, what did you say,
312
yeah. podcasts. So they are available, and people are still downloading, you know, from the beginning and doing the get
right.
all.
Yeah. That's right. They don't show up on the iTunes store page.
Yeah.
They show up in your iTunes on your subscription page when you
yes.
subscribe to that.
Yes, once you've subscribed and then you look at your podcasts, boom, there
yeah.
they all are.
Yeah.
And that, I understand that. We tried to ignore that. And it caused some problems and a few issues. And then, of course, this year, iTunes, they can be so frustrating. I love Mac things and I love iThings, but, gosh, they can be frustrating.
Well, they keep everything pretty close to the chest over there at Apple.
Yes, they do. And they made a huge change, and I understand why. With Apple TV and larger screens being used, uh-huh. they made a few changes, and one of the big ones was that they wanted your podcast image uh-huh. to be 1,400 pixels. It used to be 600. Now they want 1,400 by 1,400. And it took us, I think, 2.5-3 months
right.
to get that picture to show up. We phoned support lines, or we emailed them.
Because they don't make it easy to say what the problem is.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's an easy fix once you know what the problem is, but it was terrible trying to find the problem.
Yeah, and sadly, every time, I think we contacted them on 3 occasions, and we get the same reply, which is just look at your feed. Look at your feed, do a feed analysis,
right.
and that's it. And
right.
well, so we did that. There's a feed validator, which anyone out there who's got a feed, certainly for podcasting, you should go to feed, I think it's feedvalidator.org, and test your feed. You'll find all sorts of errors that just pop up because of irritating little things, especially if you're cutting and pasting from a document, from Word or any other word processor. If you cut and paste, it throws up all sorts of unfortunate characters that cause problems. But we eventually got it. The fascinating thing, though, one thing I hope you don't mind. This might be boring for anyone out there who's not into podcasting and WordPress and the combination of these things. Some things have changed over the years. Like I don't have all the stats from years ago, so it's mostly just through memory. But like I was looking at our platforms and clients mm-hmm. And countries and various stats. We now use Blueberry and a plugin called PowerPress. We used to do, do you remember FeedBurner?
I do, yes.
Yeah.
FeedBurner was founded by our old friend Dick Kosla.
That's right. And sadly, Dick, I hate to say, but...
Well, he sold the company, that's when it went south.
Well, and you know, he sold at the right time because FeedBurner was absolutely brilliant in the early days, and it's what we all needed.
Yeah.
It actually hosts your feed,
so
their address is your feed URL.
Right.
Not so good a few years down the road, and our feed is huge. We have a lot of podcasts. We don't want their address in our feed, your
right.
URL. We want it to say reduceshakespeare.com.
Right.
And technically, they own the feed because, so if you're interested in intellectual, you know, copyright,
right.
well, so we finally moved it. And sadly, when we moved it away, they don't like you to move it away. They don't want you to take it away. And so they only allow a redirect for 30 days. So I'm sad to think that we might have lost some people looking for our feed,
right.
finding it not there. We moved it away, and we host it on our own site, but then stats are now being supplied by Blueberry,
mm-hmm.
and they're a great service.
Mm-hmm.
But what that does mean is that to get our stats, to get accurate stats for all podcasts, I'd have to go back and look at the last stats report from FeedBurner,
right.
and then go and add them to the numbers that we now have from Blueberry.
Right.
So it's frustrating. When did we switch? When was this?
It was like 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
But the other thing is, none of us are getting paid for this. I mean, right. The RSC pays you to host the website yes. and for some of the design work that you do. Yep. But you do, I mean, you help me out all the time, and we're not paying you. Nobody's paying me. Yep. And no, we don't pay any of the people who appear on this podcast. Right. So it's hard to do that statistical analysis of it, which would be valuable to a company, to a small company, but it's just, you know, there's only so many hours in a day.
And we've got pretty good numbers. I mean, I don't, for a small theater company with a cult following, a very strong, you know, history of a cult following, you know, we're doing well. I think some of our podcasts, again, it's hard to tell because of switching over, but some of our podcasts are now, the early ones, are now upwards of between 6,000 and 8,000 downloads easily.
Yeah.
We only have accurate numbers for podcasts since the switchover, where Blueberry has been counting.
Yeah.
And those average, when a podcast is released, you release it on a Monday. Mm-hmm. By the following Monday, almost all of our podcasts are upwards of 1,500 to 2,000 downloads just in that first 7 days.
Yeah.
So then start adding all the newcomers who then do the, you know, download all.
Right.
And those numbers start bouncing up. Right. And what has changed, what I was looking at, is that so Windows is still our big platform. So it's more. It's 51% Windows.
So more people listen on PCs than on Macs?
Yes, 51%. Macintosh 32 and iOS 10%. Now that's gone up.
That's interesting. So iOS means people watching on an iPad, listening on an iPad or an iPhone.
iPhone, yeah, yeah.
Or so, an iPod.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, iPhones, it's their mobile operating system.
Right.
So iPads, iPhones, 10%, and that's been growing. iTunes is still 69%.
And that's a cross-platform, iTunes.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the amazing thing. If we're looking at clients, iTunes, number one, at 69%. The next one, I'll be darn, at just about 10%, is iPhone. I had no idea so many people are listening on the iPhone.
All by itself.
All by itself.
Yeah.
And then is iPad 4.8. Haha, Windows, Michael Faulkner's going to love this. Windows Media Player is 2.8%.
Damn. Where it should be.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all you Zune listeners.
exactly. I mean, in terms of distribution, podcatchers, 76%. Mobile web, 11%, and then it goes down from there. Only 5% of people are actually going to our website and clicking play on through the web.
Streaming it on our web.
Yeah,
interesting.
So I'm surprised.
So when I, every week I say thank you for listening or streaming on your computer, there's very few people actually streaming on their computer.
Yeah, only 5% of people raise their hand and go, that's me. Yeah.
Hello. As far as I know, I'm Weird Al Yankovic.
Hi, this is Mayor Cory Booker of the great city of Newark, New Jersey.
I'm Corva Coleman with NPR News.
Hi, I'm Ann Hage.
Hey, I'm Eric Stonestreet from ABC's Modern Family.
Hey, everybody, I'm Frank Malico.
Hi, I'm Kate Chichner. I'm Austin's mother.
Hi, this is Rick Lombardo, Artistic Director at the San Jose Repertory Theater.
Hey, this is Joel Murray, Freddie Rumsen from Mad Men.
Hi there, this is Paul.
This is Storm.
Together we would be Paul and Storm.
Hi, I'm Dick Costolo from Twitter.
Hey, guys, Will Durst here.
This is Stephen Klein, President of the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts in Louisville, Kentucky.
Hello, my name is Will Wheaton.
This is Neil Conan from NPR News and the Talk of the Nation, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Podcast, dagnabbit! The quality of mercy is not strained. It's sprinkling from above like the... No.
Now you're just showing off.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week, we open our three-week run of the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged at San Diego Repertory Theater in San Diego, California. And at the very same time, with a different cast, we'll perform the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged this weekend at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri, and then next weekend in Anchorage, Alaska. That's right, Alaska in December. Oh. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com, click on the link to subscribe, and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. One of the things we don't, I can't really get a bead on, and it's possibly one of the reasons that we don't have a sponsor, is that I don't really know who our demographic is. Our listenership, I think, is comprised of people from all walks of life, all political spectrums. Some of them are theater folks. Some of them are just theater fans, fans of ours. Some of them are... I know we have a lot of sci-fi geeks, time travel, Star Trek, Doctor Who fans, just because they're the most vocal whenever we do a podcast about one of those topics.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it's across all ages. So we get high school kids, college kids, people who want to be actors, grown-ups, grandparents listening to. So it's in that sense, it's kind of hard to for an advertiser to go, ooh, I would like to sponsor that podcast because it talks to my demographic. And actually, I'm just talking off my head. I don't actually know who our listeners are.
Yeah, it is hard. Every night after the show, out in the lobby saying goodbye to folks and signing autographs, every night, invariably, there's somebody who says, I listen to your podcast and it's so exciting. You're in my ear. You're in my head. And there's no consistency to their age or gender. Yeah. Sometimes it's fan girls and sometimes it's fan guys and it's sometimes it's older folks, it's sometimes students, it's hard to pin down. But you know, you should be, I admire you for not, with the amount of people I think listening, you could sell out, as it were, and sell advertising space or get sponsors or somehow try to monetize it, but you've held off, and I think that's cool.
Well, and you know what? I would if I could. But again, there's just only so many hours in the day.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you and McGorf and Reed and all the other members of the company and all my friends and guests and artists that I've met over the last 6 years all do this for nothing.
Right.
You know, so I don't think anybody's getting rich off of podcasts except what's his name, Ricky Gervais.
Right.
But but if there was a sponsor that could pay for just the hosting of it, then I could take some money but not feel guilty about still asking friends to participate.
And then I could not feel guilty about raising my prices.
Wait a second. Hang on. Stop.
Yeah.
Go back.
Hey man, come on. Times are tough, right? Now here's a question that I've got for you. I decided to just look at podcast numbers in terms of which seem to be the most popular, the most number of downloads, and as you'd expect, there are some that Disney's Tangled Rapunzel. I think that's episode 212.
Okay,
and going upstairs, downstairs, any of the podcasts with very popular, you know, famous names, and I guess if people are doing Google searches and they come across it, those huge downloads,
right.
And then. Some of them, and this is my question to you, some are strange. Like there's a period from podcast 209 to 231, we have a massive surge. Now, and all I could think of is that sometimes maybe it's because we've got two tours going at once, a lot of publicity. We're driving a lot of people to our site. A lot of people are clicking on us because they're newbies.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what was going on during that time? Do you remember?
I don't know.
That's Broadway Play Publishing through Hardy Book Fest, Sassy Gay Friend. And that's during the Disney and the going upstairs, downstairs. We got a huge surge.
We might have had, that might have been a time at which we were either performing in this country and Belgium and Holland, or in this country and in Asia, you know, I don't think it was and the UK at that time, but it might be one of those things where.
We had three companies going at once, didn't we?
Yeah, it might have been something like that where I mean, we mentioned the podcast at the end of every show, and so I think that gets us a whole bunch of new listeners.
Yeah.
And then I think people fade away. I mean, I know I'm way behind on many of the podcasts that I listen to, just because it's a kind of a binge. Sometimes there'll be a binge listens, and we've had people across the years say, "Oh, I just listened to all 300 episodes in the last 3.5 days." It's like, "Oh my God,
your ears must be bleeding."
Yeah, you need to be institutionalized.
Yeah. This summer, our biggest podcast so far this year. And I mean, no offense to episode 291, our lighting designer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that coincides with when we hit the BBC. We were on television, and there was a huge surge in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just drove a lot of people to
our website,
and our podcast. And you do a good job every week. And this is, anyone out there doing podcasting should use Austin as an example, because you're very good. You immediately tweet about it, and you post it on the Facebook.
Yeah.
And looking at our referrers, The most traffic we get comes from Facebook and Twitter.
Interesting.
We're getting a lot, strangely, from Wikipedia, which means we need to update that page. We need memberships, and we need to add to it.
Right.
Because it's driving a lot of people to our site. I think that's the third most popular.
They're coming to the website, or they're coming to the podcast?
To both.
Okay.
Yeah, both. It refers to our podcast and to the site. Can I just ask this question?
Yeah.
Do you have? We do this from time to time, and I know that they're all like your children, 312 children, and you love them all equally. But do any stand out as just fond memories because you were happy to get the interview or just had fun doing it?
Yes. Several stand out for a bunch of reasons. The ability to interview Brian Dennehy. Before his performance of The Iceman Cometh at the Goodman Theater in Chicago earlier this fall, or in the summer, or no, God, it was last spring. That was just a privilege. You know, I know him because I know his daughters, and he's a guy that intimidates me still, but I admire him. And I just go, he didn't hit me, so I figured that was a good time. But and then there have been other favorites, but I tell you, one of the things I enjoy the most, and it's happened because you recently redesigned the website, is that now there is there's a kind of a random...
It's called the related post plugin.
The related post plugin, because now if you click on the podcast on our website, reduceshakespeare.com, click on the page of that episode, it will give you links to three related podcasts randomly generated by either the description or the keywords that I've put in. Yeah. And I've enjoyed going through them and just randomly clicking and going, oh, yeah. I remember that. That was a pretty good podcast.
Yeah.
And then there have been one or two where I kind of go, yeah, okay, we don't need to hear that one again.
Yeah.
But that's okay. But that's been a really fantastic and fun discovery for me. And I hope for other podcast listeners, if you want to find out more, you can go to the podcast page at our website and then just start clicking. The other thing you can do is the entire archive from the last 6 years you can find at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Click on podcast, click on archive, and they're all there. If you're missing some from your iTunes or whatever podcatcher you're using, you can go there and find them all and then click on some randomly generated related podcasts.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast. Send us your sponsorship requests via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of the podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and at our Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @reduced. You'll find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, behind Gooser Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Claudia Starbuck. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to all the members of the RSC for helping me out with this thing every single week for the last 6 years. Thanks also to the many friends, both old and new, who've shared their voices with us either in interviews or in our celebrity blurbs. And thanks very much to you for listening for all these years. I'm Austin Titchener, 313 939th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And even if you've listened to them all, I think they're a lot like old episodes of Star Trek. You can just watch them again and again. Just listen over and over. Meet Matt Rippey. That's one of my favorites. I listen to that every week.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.